In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. As Paul's writing to the church in Galatia, and I was reading through the verses this week, honestly, I have to say my first note is this. Galatians, y'all want to get into this? Well, we're getting into it anyway. It's a lot. And when we hear these words in Paul's letter, he's writing a letter to the church. This is an important thing to hear, because I think sometimes as Christians we decide, well, I believe in God, so I'm good. I know Jesus, Jesus loves me, I love him. And so sometimes when we hear the hard things, it's really easy to just say, I already know. Paul is writing to the church, brothers and sisters. He is writing to us, and it's a difficult lesson, and it's a difficult message to hear from him. He begins to give us, well, our lectionary begins with verse 1 in chapter 5, and then it jumps all the way to 13. I'll paraphrase the in-between piece for you. He says, for freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Paul then goes on to speak very specifically of the traditional faith and the concept of a legalistic faith. And what he's saying that we're free from in the power of Christ is the legalism. We are freed from the legalistic faith so that we can live in the Spirit of God. Amen? So that's a very different concept with a better result, believe it or not. If you're having trouble living by the Spirit of God, definitely live by the law. Because you're still going to be better off than if you just go off on your own, which is essentially where Paul's going to go today. He's going to push us towards an understanding more deeply who we are. We get a little bit of clarity in verses 13 and 14. For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but through love become slaves to one another. The ancient languages in the Greek would have translated more clearly from self-indulgence to more flesh. And I have to say that because they didn't translate it differently as we go forward. And when, let me say this to you, when Paul is speaking about being in the flesh, he's talking about being in sin. He's talking about our brokenness. And that is what he's pointing out. So when we are given this freedom, it wasn't specifically so that we could just do whatever we want. It's not without some understanding of obedience to God. Now, I was raised in a particular denomination, and a lot of jokes about other denominations. I'm not going to go there specifically. But one of them was, we could do anything we wanted all week long as we went to confession before we went and received communion. You all heard that. Now, before we get too full of ourselves, let's not forget that we go to confession every single week before you receive communion. Let me give you a little insight in case no one's ever taught you this. This moment is going to come in this service. The deacon is going to say, let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. You should immediately start confessing. You can do it out loud if you want, but I recommend you do it quietly between you and God. If you need to do it out loud, give me a call, we'll set an appointment. And that is an okay thing to do also. But you should immediately start confessing your sins, not wondering who's going to kneel or not kneel, and not just waiting to say, well, if I say these words, that's good enough. See, the words of the confession is what we do corporately to recognize the source of all of our sin that we just confessed to God before we started the words corporately. Amen? Now, I'm not sure everybody knew that. The problem is sometimes we move too fast because the preacher goes on too long and it's like we need to pick up some time. But take the time to do it anyway. And in those mornings when I'm leading it and I did the confession and the priest just sits there, you can then know what kind of week I've had. Or maybe morning, for that matter. So we all live in the struggle that Paul's talking about. And he goes, so don't use this for your self-indulgence. Don't use this freedom to claim your flesh. You use this freedom to claim the Spirit of God. See, that's where we are called to live. That's the great joy that comes from it. And then he has this other transitional statement A couple of them. Verse 14 says, "For the whole law is summed up in a single commandment. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." Easy enough, we're done. That's all we got to do. Then verse 15. If, however, now when Paul says something like, if, however, what he probably really means is, because I've seen how you behave, you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. If you continue in your flesh, if you continue in your selfish desires, if you continue to do these things that are not of God, things that are not of the Spirit, things that we know are contrary to the Spirit of God, be careful that you don't destroy yourself or one another. Be sure that you don't go to such lengths that someone is turned away from God. Or don't go so far away that you turn away from God. Then he moves in to give us some clearer information. The works of the flesh. Live by the Spirit, I say, and do not gratify the desires of the flesh. For what flesh desires is opposed to the Spirit, and what the Spirit desires is opposed to the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to prevent you from doing what you want. I don't know about you, but I do not like someone coming and telling me that I can't do what I want. I know it's part of being the youngest of six children. And yes, that's hard to believe. Two amazing facts for you. I am the youngest member of my family. Hard to believe. Here's the next one, Morgan. I'm the tallest. Just so you know. My brother says he's taller, but he's wrong. Context. But the reality is we live into this place and we want what we want. We live in a society that tells us we should have what we want. After the early service, one of our members came to me and goes, "I heard what you said about that, about what we want and what we deserve." And all I could think about was, and don't take offense if you're an attorney that does this work, that's not what I mean. Let us get for you what you deserve. Been in an accident? Those two things are really hard to take, aren't they? Someone has an accident, now you need to get what you deserve because somebody made a mistake. As I practice my faith and my understanding of how I falter and gain ground in my journey, the one thing I often have to remember, and I don't know who told it to me eventually, is I should probably hope I never get what I deserve. Because what I've received is beyond anything that I deserved through Jesus Christ. Amen? So we have this struggle that goes on inside of us, and Paul's pointing out to that. These are opposed to each other to prevent you from doing what you want. So often we're told, do what you want, get what you want. Give in to how you feel about whatever the situation is so that you can do what you want to do to make yourself feel better. That is not what Paul is talking about. Paul is talking about in the midst of wherever we are and in the midst of whatever we are doing, we have the freedom to do that, but don't. You have the freedom to satisfy your own selfish desires, or you have the freedom to live in the power of God. So very quickly we default, and I say we, and as I said earlier, when I say we, I generally mean me. But since you're here, when we move through life and something is happening that we don't care for, and it gets us maybe a little, I don't know, riled up, we want to do what we want to do to satisfy our inner desire to get some kind of satisfaction in the situation. And if we come against someone who's saying that's probably not what you should do, we do what all healthy people should do. Go find somebody to agree with you and get them to tell you it's okay. I know none of us have ever done that. But that is sort of our default. Paul is saying, probably within you, in those moments, you know that you are just going to take care of what you want done. And you will do whatever you want at whatever it costs. Even if it requires you to know that your faith tells you, I stand here doing what? Oh, what did it say? Love your neighbor as yourself. Now take note, it doesn't say a single thing about the neighbor loving you. Not one word. So when we find ourselves struggling through this life and we go, well, they don't love me, so I'm not going to love, oh. That's the battle. Amen? Paul's saying, don't give in to your desire to get back, to get the upper hand, to prove your point, to get your way. He says, you live in the freedom of the Spirit of God. So when we move and do, it should look like the Spirit of God, not the Spirit of Brian. Everyone knows that that doesn't go very well. How many people here have served on a vestry with me? How many people have sat in a vestry meeting when you know I wanted something and I wasn't getting it? We all have the problem. Just so you know, if you haven't served on vestry, I don't always get what I want. There we go. I know that's right. He's not kidding. That brother saved me from myself more than one time. But the reality is, it's inside all of us. Paul's talking about that battle. He's saying, choose the freedom. In your freedom, choose. Choose God. Choose to love your neighbor as yourself. Don't wait for them to love you first. We're actually the example, shockingly, that God is using to the world. It's our opportunity to do that. But if you're led by the Spirit, you are not subject to the law. What that means is you're actually functioning above it. You're functioning at a higher level. It doesn't mean you forget the law. It just means by default, you're already functioning over and above the basic understandings of not harming other people, no matter what they may be doing. Now, the works of the flesh are obvious. Fornication, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmities. So far, we're probably pretty good, most of us. Strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, doing good with those two. And things like these. It's not a best, passing grade. We're not looking for a passing grade. God is looking for 100%. He's also well aware that on our own, we are incapable of getting 100%. Which is why we can live by His Spirit. And it's also why He's so gracious and forgiving, even though He keeps staring at me over there. Listen closely. Paul is talking to the church. He is talking to us today. Listen closely to what he says. After listing the works of the flesh, and each of us able to add our own, he says, I am warning you as I warned you before. Those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Will not. not might not, or perhaps won't. If we don't strive to live as God has called us to live by the power of His Spirit and reflecting what it means to be moving in the Spirit of God, if we cling to these worldly things, if we cling to our arguing and our fighting and our dissensions and all of the rest of it, if that is what is driving you in the morning, listen closely, brothers and sisters. Those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. That does not sound like a negotiation to me. There's a reality to where we walk in this world. And if we are walking in this world expecting to see the kingdom, brothers and sisters, the only place it's going to be seen is within the depth of your soul. And the only way the world is going to know it and the world is going to understand it is when they see it in you and in me. When they see the church moved by the Spirit of God. When they see the church loving their neighbor as themselves. When they see us standing in the midst of the chaos and pointing to the Prince of Peace. That, brothers and sisters, is what Paul is talking about. That is the call. Now, I have to say, I wasn't too excited about signing up for that. I'm an Irishman. I love a good fight. Now, I'm a small Irishman, as we've all heard. Context. So it's good when you enter into a fight to know that you're going to win. We're going to win. See, we're on the side of the victor. We live on the side of Christ. We live in the Spirit of God, which allows us to do what He's called us to do when we let Him live with us and walk with us and forgive us and correct us and love us. When we can do those things, we can actually move the way that Paul is talking about. And then, when we do that, in the freedom that we have been given, because it is still something we have to choose, it is still, as Paul says, these things are opposed to each other within us to prevent you from doing what you want. Then we hear verse 22. By contrast, after hearing about the works of the flesh, by contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and the most ignored and most important fruit of the Spirit, self-control. Oh, in a society that we live in, that doesn't seem to exhibit any self-control whatsoever. In fact, when people are not exhibiting self-control, it is often celebrated. Amen? And so we think, well, if they can do it, I can do it. Go ahead. But let's hear what Jesus said. By default, whether you like it or not, you've already put your hand to the plow. Anyone who has put their hand to the plow and turns back is not fit for the kingdom. See, Paul's message isn't new. Those hard words are not even his own, are they? We can live in the freedom of self-indulgence. Or we can live in the freedom of the Spirit of God. I'm praying we live into the freedom of the Spirit of God, which is pretty much my prayer for myself every single day. I would love to tell you I'm running 100%, but you all know better, don't you? But we keep striving. We keep seeking the fullness of this freedom so that we can move freely. We can worship freely. So quickly, when someone is struggling, we are willing to just sort of step back. Now, if somebody's gotten into a good argument and we agree with them and it satisfies our own personal need, man, we are going to get into the argument. Amen? But to see someone who's struggling and to know they're struggling and to turn away is not moving in the freedom of the Spirit of God. The freedom comes when we walk in to the midst. The joy comes when we do that. The peace, the understanding, the fullness of what God's called us to develops there. We are free to do that. And it is the one thing that we are most likely to hesitate to do. This is literally stand up for Jesus in the midst of chaos. We don't want to fail. Let's just get really honest for just a second. When we are so afraid that if we speak our heart, if we speak in the fullness of the Spirit of God in a situation where we know it isn't going to be popular, when we say, well, I didn't want to upset anybody, let's be honest. The person you really didn't want to upset was yourself. How do I know that's true? Because I'm right there with you. Paul is telling us we are free to live in the Spirit of God, manifesting the fruit of the Spirit of God. Self-control allows us to choose obedience to God. Self-control allows us to step away from the inner desire to just get into the argument so that we can bear fruit for Him. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit. When the Spirit of God is telling you to stand up for Jesus in the midst of a fallen, broken world, He is giving you an opportunity to display to a fallen, broken world what the kingdom will be like. It's a lot, isn't it? The more we do it, the better we get at it. In fact, if you get really good at it, people see you coming and they're like, just stop, He's going to make us do something Jesus-like. It's a step. They're going to go, let's ask Father Brown, let's not ask him. Nope. You can get that reputation, I promise you. And you should. See, we are called to live this out fully. We are called to do this in every situation. We are free to love and be loved by God. We are free to love our neighbor as ourselves, especially when they don't love us. We are free to worship. We are free to pray. We are free to study His word. We are free to move. And brothers and sisters, we are free to bear His fruit by living in the Spirit.